Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN. I'm joined by CSNChicago.com, Blackhawks insider Tracy Myers. We will get things going on the Hawks Talk podcast in just a second. Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events, tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. Go to vividseats.com to grab your tickets today. Well, Tracy, on Wednesday, several reports have the Hawks closing in on Ulf Samuelson as the assistant to replace Kitchen under Joel Quenneville. Yeah. We'll get to more of that in just a second. Yeah. But let's start with the signing of 26-year-old Czech Republic defenseman Jan Ruda, a one-year entry-level deal, a right-handed shot. What do you know about Ruda?
Well, basically anything that I've seen on the internet, which isn't a whole lot. Has been very good over there, 46 games with his team, whose name I'm going to butcher, so I'm not even going to bother saying it. 8 goals, 24 assists with them this year. This is good for him in terms of, you know, how much of it was him seeing the opportunity here. You've got a blue line that you're not going to have Johnny Oduya back. You're not going to have Brian Campbell back. And this is what we talked about. It's the Blackhawks needing to move forward and needing to get younger, needing to get some youth and some more speed and everything on the blue line. And so for this kid, 26, I shouldn't call him a kid.
And 27 next month, so yes. He's kind of a late bloomer.
So he's a bit of a late bloomer and everything. You're always curious how the transition goes. You know, as I said to somebody, it could be like Panarin, could be like Tara Vinen, who's gotten very quiet,
right?
Since he's come over here. But great opportunity for him, for certain.
So, you know, he's a right-handed shot, yeah. So he joins Seabrook, TBR, and Roosevelt as right now the current right-handed shots on the roster. Mm-hmm. My question was, is this a depth defenseman, a 5'6 guy, or will he be a guy that you can put in a top-four role?
Yeah.
And I think depending on the scouts that you read, most say depth.
Yeah.
A few Euro scouts think that he has the opportunity. I think we both agree that the Hawks need another piece to the top four.
Right.
I don't think you can count on Ruda being one of those, the top candidate to be in the top four.
Yeah, I think it right now, having not seen him on this side of the pond, and I can imagine not playing on this size of ice surface. This is where the transition comes in. You look at Michael Kempney this past year and the expectations for him, and certainly they were going to let him feel his way through things. And there were times where he looked great, and there were other times where he just looked like he wasn't sure what was going on out there. Now, it didn't help that he was in and out of the lineup quite a bit. That's the other thing, is it's going to take reps and it's going to take time in the lineup. Coach Joe Quenneville says it all the time, that the defensemen, the development time for them is always a lot longer. Well, does he get the opportunity? That's the thing. And it's going to be something that they're going to have to get him out there. And he's going to make mistakes. But, let's see what the kid can do.
One guy who we did see develop was Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah.
But don't you think that this probably signals, and I know you've written a lot about this, about the likely departure of TBR to Vegas in possibly a package deal with Marcus Kruger to alleviate that Kruger $3 million cap hit per year?
It's possible, yeah. And first of all, the Blackhawks, and they're pretty much like every other team here, but nobody seems to say it more than they do. They can't have enough defensemen. We hear it all the time. So you get him in the mix. And if you do lose TVR, which it's looking like that's going to be the plan, then you've got another guy. You've got Kempney. You've got a couple guys in the minors. You've got Forsling. You've still got some other guys there, and let's see what maybe they get a shot. And so, you're bulking up in an area where he might still lose somebody. And so you have to be prepared for that, absolutely, because it's looking very likely.
And then the cap, as far as, you know, what we're hearing from Bill Daly in the NHL, it's either going to be flat, go up slightly, or I think we're hearing that the players will probably opt for the 5% escalator, which would certainly help the Hawks.
Sure.
Currently, $4.5 million over.
Yeah.
That 5% escalator would get them close. And then, you know, we haven't even discussed the removal of Kruger's $3 million.
Right.
But then you're going to go try to add, because
yeah,
they need to get. We haven't even touched or addressed the forwards.
No, you know, you've got. I fully expect it to, you know, them to you know, have it around 76, 77. But either way, it's just a difference of, okay, are they going to be smashed up against the wall with the cap, or are they going to have a little bit of breathing room? Because either way, it's not going to be a whole heck of a lot, you know. Yeah, they have some decisions to make. And again, you're going to go into free agency with a lot of decisions to make. Even before that, you know, can you peel away another big contract? Can you swing one of those, even if you have to take some salary, hold on to some.
Yeah.
It's better than the situation you're in right now, because, they have a lot of decisions to make. And the cap, even if it goes up to the highest amount that they can imagine, you factor in the overages and things, they've got a lot of decisions to make here.
And look, so let's hypothetically say Kruger does
yeah,
go. You got to replace him, because
yes,
he's a favorite of Joel's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a third or fourth line center, depending on the depth at center. He's been in a third line center role here the last couple years, but that's a reliable guy on the
yeah,
PK that you're going to depart with. And we already asked a lot of the Hartmans, Hinostrozas, Caros last year.
Yeah.
Now we're asking, you know, one of the younger guys,
yeah,
if they don't go out and find somebody to replace him, and that's going to be hard.
Yeah. I think back, and this is a different position, obviously, but I think back to, I think it was Nick Leddy's first full year with the Blackhawks after Brian Campbell got traded. And Leddy, all of a sudden, after doing the Rockford Shuffle the year before, was asked to really up everything. Up his game, up his minutes, up his responsibility. And there were a lot of times that particular season where you could tell the kid was just overwhelmed. You have to be very careful to do that. You know, Coach Joe Quenneville always talks about, you know, you're given a certain amount, and if you show you can handle more responsibility, you get it. But, you know, you've got to be very careful on how much you put on a player's shoulders. And, yeah, with Kruger, you know, you look at the salary, yeah, it was too much for a fourth-line center. But the things that you are going to have to replace with that guy, it's going to be a heck of a lot more than money. You know, the cap is the quote-unquote easy part to worry about in that respect. That guy does a lot of things on the ice that you are going to miss.
We've discussed Ulf Samuelsson before on the Hawks Talk podcast, mm-hmm, about being a likely candidate to replace Mike Kitchen. All reports and all indications are that they're closing in on getting,
yeah,
that finalized. He's been coaching at various levels, mm-hmm, since 2003, including last year AHL in Charlotte. I think when I look at this, while he was a tough, hard-nosed defenseman, mm-hmm, I think a group on this team that is going to look and really respect him are the Keith Seabrooks, Jalmersons, because those guys remember him playing.
Yeah.
They know what kind of player he was, mm-hmm, and I think he's going to command right away a certain respect level from the top core guys in that room.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and also it goes back again to what we were talking about with the relationship on the ice. If you see that relationship between him and Dineen and Quenneville.
The Hartford Whalers.
The Hartford Whalers are reunited, or at least it's looking that way. All that's missing is the press release at this point, it seems. But I think that is a big part of it, too, is to just kind of see how everything meshes together. But there's no doubt, you know, tremendous player in his day. And yes, he also, as far as coaching, has the skins on the wall. Was out with the Coyotes for a couple years, New York Rangers for a few years, and through the minors, went to Modo over in Sweden, was the head coach over there for a little bit. So the ability, as he was as a player, was well known, and he's also got the ability as a coach.
You mentioned, obviously, his connection to Joel, having been teammates with the Whalers. There was a report on Wednesday from a colleague of ours, Mark Lazarus, from the Sun-Times, saying that, you know, there could be a third assistant added as well, and that it might be a Stan Bowman selection, like Q, got Ulf Samuelson, and now it'll be, you know, Stan's pick for the third assistant.
Yeah.
what did you make of that report?
You know, I'm a big fan of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm just curious, you know, is this an intermediary? You know, is this somebody to kind of bridge the gap? Is this, I'm not sure why this is necessary. You know, if you want to throw another coach in, I guess, but it's perfectly simple and it's perfectly laid out the way it is. I think you can get into a habit where it's too many cooks and too many opinions when it's one extra person you don't need. So, you know, I understand that they might do it, but I'm not exactly sure I know why. I wouldn't be on board with that.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Alex DeBrincat. You talked to his coach last year from Erie. Mm-hmm. We'll get the latest on him and his chances of making the Blackhawks roster next season. That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast. We are back on the Hawks Talk podcast. Tracy Myers and Pat Boyle with you. Let's discuss a couple Hawks prospects. Graham Knott, Alex DeBrincat, they squared off in the Memorial Cup Final in Windsor. You spoke to Alex's coach in Erie, Chris Knobloch, and he thinks that DeBrincat is very close to cracking the NHL code.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations to Coach Knobloch, is now an assistant with the Philadelphia Flyers as of Wednesday afternoon, so good for him there. I talked to him on Friday just to kind of sum up the time that he had with Alex and everything, and I said, listen, I get it. You know, there's no argument with his scoring. He's great at that. I did find it funny because he said that he was chosen as an all-star right wing, even though he might have played five games there. Left wing, started the season at center because they were a little short in that department. Moved over to left wing for most of the time. But he said the one thing that's going to be a concern next year, and I wasn't surprised to hear this, is that, you know, he's going to have to be that much tougher, that much stronger in battles.
Yeah.
You know, players are bigger, players are stronger, players are faster on this level. And he said that's where he's really going to have to make the jump. He says he's very smart, obviously. You know, his defense has improved exponentially this past year. And so he's great in those departments. But, yeah, you know, I mean, this is still, as we have said many a times, this is not the biggest guy who's going to be on the ice.
You know, 5'9".
Right.
But, you know, so
5'7", I think.
5'7".
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's that's going to be the tough part, you know, and if I were the Blackhawks, I would put him with Marian Hossa as quickly as possible in those battle drills, you know, just throw the kid to the fire. But yeah, in a lot of ways, Knobloch said, you know, listen, you see what he's been able to do. And it's also where DeBrincat is mentally. Knobloch said this kid loves when people tell him that he can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, they even told him even through the OHL, you're never going to be able to do this.
Well, a lot thing. Like what Kane dealt with in London,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to be a first-round pick. You're too small.
It worked out.
It worked out. Now, that's all-world skill. But
sure.
When we look at the numbers for DeBrincat, they're off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, when you score, you know, 60-something goals this past year, 251 goal seasons back-to-back before that, he's been able to do a lot. And you know what? It's going to be a heck of a jump for him. The transition is always tough, regardless. You know, there's always something from one league to the pros that you're going to have to deal with. But, you know, he's gotten to this point, was this far away from winning the Memorial Cup. And let's see what he can do. But if his own coach, who's seen him the last couple of years, thinks he's pretty close, I think I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, gut feeling. Do you think he makes the roster? I mean, it all depends on how he looks in training camp. I'm sure the Hawks are going to be working on the strength and have a detailed plan for him this offseason to get stronger.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he at least started in Rockford.
Okay.
And unless, and we've seen it happen before, unless he just has a lights out camp and you can't ignore him, you know. But I don't think it would hurt him, you know, to just make that jump a little bit easier, you know. Even, you know, when we saw it in the Nick Schmaltz case, you know, and the game was there. Maybe it's a confidence thing. Now, if DeBrincat comes in just tremendously confident and takes off right off of camp, we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if he spends a little time there to start.
The guy DeBrincat lost to in the Memorial Cup final was Graham Knott. He's a big kid.
Bigger guy.
Yeah, we're not talking, you know, he's big in stature, left winger. I mean, it's a guy they need. I mean, now I think sometimes, you know, you got to fight the what the team needs with the expectations of what really this kid has.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just – this isn't just a rotisserie thing where we're like, oh, we need a big left winger to play with, say, Taves.
Right.
Let's put him there. You know, that doesn't work that way.
No.
But he has a lot of promising signs. He's made some big strides here in the last year.
He has, yeah. I'll actually be talking to him tomorrow, so looking forward to that. But, you know, you look at his story from this past year. He started with Niagara, got traded to Windsor, and just because Windsor was the host of the Memorial Cup, the Spitfires were automatically in. So he knew in November that, okay, regardless of what happens, I'm going to be playing for the Memorial Cup, so not bad there. Scored the tying goal in the deciding game. But they went something like 6 weeks
without
playing, getting eliminated from their tournament to playing in the Memorial Cup.
That's a long time.
So, you know, I'm never going to write a story again about a team with a few days off between the end of the regular season and postseason. But this experience had to be, and that's what I'm planning on talking to him about, the experience had to be fantastic for him. And the few games that I did watch of the tournament, he played very well, you know, and Windsor just a tremendously talented team. So, you know, to get that this past year, which you couldn't have foreseen back in October, you know, that, oh, okay, you're going to be playing in the middle of May for the Memorial Cup, had to be tremendous for him. So I'm anxious to talk to him and find out how much that did for him. Looking forward.
One thing that came out last week was that there will be no outdoor game for the Blackhawks. First time in 5 years that has happened. We've all written the story and discussed the story on television of the lack of success the Hawks have had, how it's hard for them to get up for these games. I'll be honest, I think this is good for certainly for the Blackhawks to take a step back and let the rest of the league do their thing outdoors and, you know, maybe reconvene next season.
And we know they're going to be back.
Yeah, of course. I
get it. You know, New York has missed one, I'm sure. Pittsburgh, Washington, all these teams that have been in them multiple times. My whole feed when that news came out, when the schedule came out and the Blackhawks did not have an outdoor game, was a mix of great and oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were looking at the record. Now, if you break down the record, I will say this. The only game that they were absolutely just lopsidedly beaten in was the Minnesota game. The St. Louis game was close until the third period. The Washington game was close up until 20 seconds left.
Sure, absolutely.
In regulation.
Detroit game was close.
The Detroit game.
Yeah.
But there's still this sense. One, I still say the best part of the outdoor game is the variety, be it the teams, be it the locations. I absolutely loved that they had it in Minnesota 2 years ago. It was just a beautiful setting. Great show in St. Louis last year. Now they're going to be doing it at some of the U.S.
Naval Academy.
Naval Academy,
yep.
Some of the military bases, which I think is fantastic also. So that I love.
I heard that they were floating the Nashville idea, and then I'm like, we're in St. Louis last year thinking, like, they're not going to get this game in. It's raining.
Right.
I mean, so you got to be careful, obviously, geographically where you put that
you
game.
Do, yeah. Although I will say they pulled it off in California.
Yeah, but it's all about the rain. Like, you can play when it's – play when it's, you know, 60 degrees because it's hard to play in rain.
Rain and humidity are your worst enemies when it comes to that ice. But no, and I don't know. I'm trying to think as many times as I've been down in Nashville in January. I'm trying to think what the weather's like that time of year. I think it's usually warm.
Yeah.
And it's never not humid. So that would be a bit of an issue.
All right. So coming up in coming weeks, obviously you're going to talk to Graham Knott.
Yeah.
And we'll look for that at csnchicago.com. You follow Tracy Myers on Twitter. And we'll get you up to speed for the NHL draft, which is just a couple weeks away. And, you know, there's a lot of work to do for Stan Bowman and this roster on a very pivotal offseason. Thanks, as always, Tracy Myers, for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast. Vivid Seats is your one-stop shopping for all Chicago sporting events, tickets this summer, as well as concerts, theater, and a whole lot more. Visit VividSeats.com to grab your tickets today. That's going to do it for the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll see you next time.